Part 19, Chapter 6. It was dark when they landed at the old academy. They had flown close to the North Pole, rolling back the sun and arriving before dawn. There were few lights. No one had lighted the field, for it was not the operational field of the area, and they had slipped in on instruments and view screens. The cadet duty officer was sound asleep, and they woke him to get themselves logged in.
Storm along, Stam Stavanger, pilot, and Darth McNulty, co-pilot, returning from Europe, student battle plane, 862905679918. No troubles, no comments.
The cadet duty officer wrote it down. He didn't bother to get them to sign it. Johnny didn't know where Stormalong and Darf had been berthed. He had not remembered to find out. Stormalong, probably in senior faculty berthing. Darf? He thought fast. Darf was still carrying the overgenerous heavy food bag and a tool kit. After all, Stormalong was their ace here. Abruptly, Johnny grabbed the food bag and tool kit and shoved them at the cadet.
Please, carry these up to my room for me.
The cadet looked at him, oddly. Even Stormalong did his own fetching and carrying in this place.
Oh, we've been flying for days with no sleep,
said Johnny, faking a reeling motion. The cadet shrugged and took the bundles. Johnny waited for him to lead off, and he did. They arrived at a separate bedroom and went in. Stormalong's all right. It had a Norwegian woven picture on one wall. Stormalong had made himself comfortable. The cadet dropped the food bag and kit on the table and would have left. But although Angus was the one who had put this base together originally and knew it inside out, he wouldn't have known where Darf was berthed. Hastily, Johnny grabbed half the food and the kit and put them back into the cadet's arms.
Help Darf get to his room.
The cadet looked like he was going to protest.
He hurt his arm playing skittles,
said Johnny.
Looks like you hurt your face too, sir,
said the cadet. He was quite sullen at losing his sleep, but they went off. Fine beginning, thought Johnny. About now, Sir Robert definitely would be talking about planning raids right. You plan a raid, he would be saying. One as dangerous as this one might be certainly hadn't wasted any planning time. The cadet and Angus didn't come back, and he had to suppose it had been successful. He stripped off his clothes and rolled into Stormalong's bunk. He forced himself to go to sleep. He would need it. It seemed like only seconds later that he was alarmed awake with a shake of the shoulder. He sat up suddenly, hand going under the blanket to his blast gun. A face mask, a breathe mask, the hand was a paw.
Did you deliver my letter?
Whispered Kerr. It was broad daylight. A late morning sun was streaming in through the discolored glass of the window. Kerr stepped back, looking at him oddly. Then the midget cyclo cat-footed over to the door to be sure it was closed, looked around the room for bugs or other surveillance devices, and came back to the bed where Johnny had swung his legs down.
Ow!
Kerr guffawed.
Is it that plain?
Said Johnny, a little cross and smoothing his hair out of his eyes.
Oh, not to an unobservant idiot, but to one who had sweated on as many driver's seats and in as many shafts with you as me? I know you, Johnny.
He swatted his paw into Johnny's palm.
Welcome to the deep pit, Johnny. I mean, Johnny logged in as Stormalong. May the oar fly and the carts roll.
Johnny had to grin at him. Kerr was always such a clown, and in a way, he was fond of him. Kerr stepped very close. He whispered,
You know you could get yourself squash killed around here. The word trickles out through the cracks in the bunkroom doors. Top, high-level bunkrooms. You and me too if they trip the latch on us. Caution is the word. You ever have a criminal background? No? Well, you will have when they get through with you. Good thing you're in the hands of a real criminal. Me! Who came with you? Who's Darf now?
Angus McTavish.
Oh, that's the best news of the day next to your being here. Angus has a way with the nuts and bolts. I keep track of things. What's first?
First, I get dressed and eat some breakfast. I'm not showing my face in that dining room. Stormalong trained most of these flying cadets.
That he did, while I trained the machine operators. You know, I've been doing a great job on that, Johnny.
Johnny was dressing, but Kerr, the chatterbox, rattled on.
This academy is the most fun I ever had, Johnny. These cadets, I tell them stories about teaching you and things you did, mostly lies, of course, and made up to make them do better. And they love it. They know their lies. Nobody could blade scrape 39 tons of ore an hour. But you understand. You know me. I love this job. You know, it's the first time I've been really glad I'm a midget. I'm not much taller than they are. And I got them. Johnny, this will kill you unless somebody else does it first. I got them believing I'm half human.
He had taken a seat on the bed, which sagged under his 700 pounds. And now it almost collapsed as he rolled around in laughter.
Ain't that rich, Johnny? Half human. Get it? I tell them my mother was a female cyclo that raped a Swede.
Johnny, in spite of the seriousness of their mission, had to smile. He was getting into Stormalong's clothes. Kerr had stopped laughing now. He was just sitting there, looking pensive.
You know, Johnny...
And he sighed so that his breathe mask valve fluttered and popped.
I think this is the first time in my life I ever had friends.
Eating a few bites of breakfast and chasing it down with some water, Johnny said,
First thing you do is go down to the Academy Commandant and tell him you want Stormalong and Darf assigned at once to your special project. I'm sure they gave you authority from upstairs.
Oh, I got authority. I got authority running out of my furry ears. And upstairs is all over me to finish that breathe gas circulator. But I told them I needed help and parts from the Cornwall mine site.
Good. Tell them Dunaldine will be over in a couple of days to replace Stormalong in the training schedule. Say you arranged that too, to keep the school from disruption. Then you get a closed ground car out in front of this building, get Darf in it, and come back here and knock on my door, and we're away.
Got it, yeah.
Said Kerr as he went rumbling off. Johnny checked his blast gun and put it inside his coat. He would know within an hour or two whether Kerr was playing this straight. Until then...